Okay, we're going to continue with our study of the temporary gifts of the Spirit. And just for review's sake, I'm going to name the 9 temporary gifts. We've already defined them, saw where they were in the Bible, but the word of wisdom was a temporary gift to supernaturally make decisions without any study or forethought. The word of knowledge, the ability to know facts and comprehend situations by virtue of direct revelation, that's no longer in play. The gift of faith, and really it's miracle-working faith. It wasn't possessed by everyone. Paul had that power. Peter had that power. And it was exercised at different times in the book of Acts. The gifts of healing. That's the ability to heal at will. The working of miracles. And that was the ability to do a miracle as a sign or confirmation that the message was from God. There was prophecy, and along with that, the office of the prophet, the ability to receive and convey messages or doctrines by direct revelation from God. That no longer is in effect. The discerning of spirits, the ability to discern whether those who claim to exercise spiritual gifts were of God or of Satan. The gift of tongues, which is really probably the last 75 to 100 years has a lot of emphasis has been placed on that due to a misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches about tongues. It's just the ability to speak a language without any forethought or study of that language. And then, in conjunction with that gift, was the interpretation of tongues. That was the ability to interpret what the individual said so that others could know exactly what they said. Now, tonight, we're going to cover some facts that prove the temporary nature of these 9 gifts. I'm going to give you reasons why these 9 gifts were temporary. We want to offer proof for the assertion that these spiritual gifts were temporary. They did not last indefinitely. Now, I want to say at the outset that it needs to be understood, I'm not saying that God no longer heals. I believe with all my heart that every time you're healed of a cold or the flu or of a cut, that God is the one who ultimately sends healing to your body. And I believe God's the one that has orchestrated the ability to and the wisdom of modern medicine to make different kinds of medicines that help people in this healing process, therapeutics, and so on. So, I believe God heals. But I don't believe in fake healers. I don't believe in Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or Oral Roberts, these guys that said they could heal people at will. It's a money-making scam. And I believe they've scammed millions of dollars out of deceived people. So I do believe in healing, but not fake healers. I also believe that God still does miracles. I really believe with all my heart that if you're saved, it is a miracle of God's grace that you've been brought to spiritual life. And I'm sure that there are other miracles that may not be as well advertised or well known, but God still does miracles. It's just not like it was in the first century. I believe that God still does lead and illuminates His people. He gives them understanding and knowledge and wisdom as they study the Word of God, as they read the Word of God. But I don't believe that preachers, that there are preachers out there who are receiving new special revelations from God. In fact, if you hear a preacher say that, you ought to mark it down. A red flag ought to go off. This guy is teaching something that's anti-biblical, that's anti-scriptural. So, I believe that God does all those things. He still is a prayer-hearing God. He still heals people. We prayed tonight for people who are ailing, for God to heal them. So we certainly believe in the healing power of God. But there is a difference in God healing in response to prayer and a man who claims to have the gift of healing as a sign gift. So what we're asserting is that those gifts that were for the purpose of authentication or revelation were temporary. Again, why were those sign gifts given? Often to validate the work of the gospel, the work of the ministry, the work of the New Testament churches in the early days of Christianity. It was something entirely new. It was something God was showing that now He is working through this institution founded by Jesus, known as His New Testament church. So a lot of those gifts were sign gifts to authenticate, to validate the work of that of the Lord's churches. And the gift of revelation, we'll get to this in a minute, that was a necessary gift because they didn't have the complete Bible. So when Paul wrote a letter or when he prophesied, that God had to give authentication to those words of truth because they didn't carry around a full Bible. They probably only even had portions of Hebrew Scripture. Now, so we want to look at some of the reasons why this position that Baptists have historically held, that these were temporary gifts. First of all, the early churches had special needs. The apostolic churches were very obviously had some needs that are not found in churches today. The biggest one is they did not have a complete New Testament. So they stood in need of various divine, direct revelations. And then number two, the early churches needed signs to authenticate the revelations that they received. And the writer of Hebrews says this, says as much, if you'll turn over there to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape? Well, let's read verse 2. Let's start with verse 1. This is one of my favorite passages. I memorized the first two verses when I was a young Christian. I've used these verses many times in witnessing to people. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, now listen to this phrase, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Notice, those gifts were for confirmation, for bearing witness with signs and wonders. None of the reasons given by modern charismatics for our supposed present need of these miraculous gifts is biblical. The charismatics assert that these gifts will make the church more spiritual. But the gifts did not necessarily have that effect on the apostolic church. Look over. Just take Corinthians, the Corinthian church, for example. The gifts, they were well known. That church had a lot of gifts that were in operation. But it didn't mean that they were more spiritual than others. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. They had problems. So that we, that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look also at verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. In fact, some of them were bragging about their gifts and their abilities. They were using it for personal edification, and Paul had to correct them and had to explain, no, this is for, these signs are for evangelistic work. A sign to the unbelieving Jews. Look what he said, rebuking the Corinthians. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? He is rebuking them. So the argument that these gifts make a church are necessary for spiritual growth is not true. Now the charismatics will say, yes, but God's people still get sick. So we still need gifts of healing. And it reveals a failure to understand that the gifts of healing were to act as a sign to unbelievers. God still heals according to his own will. Sometimes in a miraculous way. I could probably think of several instances to illustrate someone who has told me how God miraculously healed them of some cancer that the doctors, that befuddled the doctors. I believe that still happens. But it wasn't because Oily Roberts went in and laid his hand on somebody and said, you know, I'm going to remove this cancer from you. No, that didn't happen. There is no scriptural reason why churches that have a complete and totally authenticated New Testament need these nine miraculous gifts in our day. We've got God's Word to confirm everything. And then I think this is a big one, and it's the testimony of church history. I find it extremely unusual that after the first century, in the writings of in the Christian history, you don't have claims of all kinds of miraculous things and speaking in tongues and all of these different things. You don't have a lot of that, really, until, in fact, the only people that did that on occasion were Roman Catholics who said that, you know, they saw a vision of Mary in a pizza that was delivered or something. And they began to, you know, they exalt this pizza or this something else. It's just nonsensical stuff. They did that all through to kind of keep people in their superstitions. But otherwise, those miracles were confined to the apostolic times. John Chrysostom, I'm not pronouncing his name right, but he was a famous preacher from Antioch. He lived from 345 to 407 AD. He said concerning 1 Corinthians 12, this whole place is very obscure, but the obscurity is produced by our ignorance of the facts referred to and by their cessation, being such as then used to occur, as used to occur, but now no longer take place. So you're talking about 400 AD, Christendom making this statement that those special gifts had ceased. Now the charismatics claim that carnality and lack of faith were responsible for the gifts being lost for basically 1900 years. Okay? But that contradicts several things. We've already exposed one. The church at Corinth was carnal. All right? And it had plenty. They had an abundance of gifts. Secondly, gifts are sovereignly bestowed by God. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. If they ever ceased, it was because it was God's will that they ceased, and not because the saints lacked faith. And then Jesus has always had sound churches who would have received these gifts if they'd been available. And then you look at some of the most powerful writings and preachers. I mean, think of all the Puritans and the insight that God gave them about grace and about practical Christian living. Not a word about these miraculous gifts being reinstated. I think of C.H. Spurgeon, the most well-known preacher of the 19th century. And if there was ever an opportunity, I mean, people were saved every week at the New Park Street Chapel and later at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, but no mention of the supernatural gifts. Now, next week, I want to spend some time on the testimony of the Apostle Paul regarding the gifts, with special emphasis on 1 Corinthians 13. So we'll get into that next week.